listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys are watching Sex and the City and rom-coms and lots of other things. I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin Doyle.
I'm John Sieber.
And today we are very excited to have a repeat guest with us, a comedian and incredibly good foosball player as well, just fresh off tour. Welcome back, Kelsey Cook.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for doing this. We were just, before we started, John was talking about what we didn't know, that he had a lot of foosball knowledge with you as well. And you guys know a lot about foosball together.
Yeah.
I mean, like you were telling us that your parents met as competitive foosball players.
Yeah. So my entire family and I are actually world champion foosball players. So my parents met playing in a pro foosball tournament in the 80s. And then had me and my brother and trained us when we were really young. There are pictures of me playing when I'm like 2 years old, standing on a stool. So I'm like tall enough to see the top of the table. And yeah, like my mom and brother have competed in France at the World Cup. And my mom's in the Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
It's a really crazy.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's amazing.
That is crazy. I've seen your show because you have a show where you have like comedians that play foosball, right?
Yeah, Wrists of Fury. It's on YouTube. I think we have 25 episodes, 23 or 25 episodes up. But yeah, really, really fun show.
Are you a snake shot person?
I didn't realize wow, you're from royalty, foosball royalty. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of an oxymoron, foosball royalty. But yeah, a lot of Bud Light in the foosball community. It's not a very regal sport. But yeah, it's... I do love it, and I feel grateful to have a hobby that I still enjoy so much, as I think in comedy you can kind of get sucked into only focusing on that all the time.
Yeah. I also feel like that's a hobby you could do for possibly your entire life, maybe.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think like, yeah, I mean, unless something happens to your wrists, but like it's not like skiing or something like that, yeah.
Have either of you ever been to a pro foosball tournament, Corey or Kevin?
No.
My extent with professional foosball is I had a roommate who was really into it and like trying to break the pro scene. So he would bring me to bars in Minnesota and I would just kind of like stand back and watch. It's awesome. I love niche sports like that where like people, you know, foosball for most people is just a bar game, and then you go meet professional foosball players who bring their own wraps and they're practicing their snake shots, and you're just like, you're blown away by how good these people are at that given thing. And it's so fun. And just some absolute incredible names in the foosball community. We were riffing on some of them earlier.
Yeah.
I like how John is just like throwing out like terms about foosball now, like wraps and snake shots. I mean, Kelsey knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. It's my purse does at any given time have a foosball and a couple wraps in there. Just in case, because it's like, that was what was in my mom's purse. That's what's in mine now. It's just like this thing that I didn't even realize that was weird until I got older, to carry that in your purse. Like the way people carry like gum and shit. I have. This is what you do.
Just in case you stumble across a tornado table, you need to wrap it up. And you know, and do you carry around the drops that like grease up or lube up the table?
Boost lube. I don't like to carry boost. I don't like to carry Foos Lube with me because I feel like it always leaks and then it's just like gross in your purse. Yeah. But I have.
This is awesome.
It hurts my heart when I walk into a bar and I see a foosball table that just looks like a shelter animal. Like nobody has taken care of it. It's just in such poor shape. And I have been known to ask the people behind the counter, like, do you guys have like some Windex and paper towels or some olive oil that I can like help the rods a little bit? I will fix a foosball table up a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
Have you ever done the Carlton Banks like Fresh Prince thing? You know, when Uncle Phil they get down like and pool a whole bunch, and then Uncle Phil like plays like he's really bad and does Double or Nothing a few times. Then he gets the sticks out and he's like the professional pool table. That was like my favorite Fresh Prince episode. Have you ever fooled people into stealing their money?
So that's what my entire tour. Yeah, that's what my entire tour is based on. It's called the Hustler Tour. So every
what?
Yeah. So every city that I go in, that's like what my special that I just shot is based on. So every city that I go to for comedy shows, I always look up in the area to see where there's a bar nearby the club that has a foosball table. And I will go afterward and like we just find drunk guys and I will play the first game terribly and I'll talk in the worst voice and just be like, what direction should I be shooting? Like, I have never played, I don't know. And then once money's on the table, then I'll like get the foosball wrap out and
oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
I mean, that's like
clear. That's a romantic comedy, yeah. Right there. That is like that is yeah. the that's absolutely. So good. Yeah.
Except like no guy wants to like fuck you after you do. I mean, you absolutely decimate them and take their money. Like no guy's thrilled in that moment, but it is fun for me.
There's a lot of subs out there that are just like, yeah, beat me so bad. Wait, this is a great transition because so your parents met, but like, are there any details that are like, did they just meet playing or was it in a tournament?
I mean, I don't want to know if I was like conceived on a foosball table or anything. Like
that. It would be the most uncomfortable conception.
Yeah. No, that'd be terrible. But I mean, they're not together anymore. I don't know that many details of like the very, very beginning, but you know, we've learned that foosball is not something that you can build a marriage on, apparently. You know, make a comedian, so.
Yeah.
yeah, totally.
Yeah.
When's your special come out?
It's coming out in the fall. We're not sure it's going out yet, but okay. Yeah, it's in the process of getting edited and I'm excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. Amazing.
You just finished recording, right?
Yes. I just shot it in Denver about a month ago. Yeah, about a month ago.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Well, last time you were on, we had on the entire Self Helpless podcast. It was six of us. Mm-hmm. And you told us you were the biggest Sex and the City fan of the gals.
Yes.
So let's get your thought. Like, let's start with with the series, the original one, and then we can talk about the new one too.
Sure.
Yeah. You've seen the new one, right?
I have. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Yeah, what's your relationship to Sex and the City, and do you still, how do you feel about it now? You still go back to it?
Yes.
When was the first time you saw it?
I love it. I think the first time I watched it was I in high school? I think I might have been in high school or early college, but I was home for the summer and ended up binging it with my mom, which, you know, I am very close with my mom, have a very best friend relationship, but you start watching, you're like, oh, I'm about to watch like white porn with my mom for the summer. Yeah. I didn't know what I was getting into. And then it's kind of like too late. And we're like, okay, well, we're going to see Samantha's tits about 87 times, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I started watching it then. And it just, I think like for so many people became one of those shows that you kind of go back to maybe annually, every couple years, but I do really like to watch the whole series at least every couple years.
Yeah, when we started the podcast, we had never seen it at all. Now we're making it through the second time. We're almost done with our second watch, and I was like, and it totally makes sense that I'm like, oh man, I know. No matter what happens after the second watch, in like 10 years or something, I could imagine being like, I want to remember that time when I did this podcast with the guys.
Yeah.
Like it's already like so connected into like my life, even after I heard so many people talk about that experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's a strange phenomenon too. I don't know if you guys, you probably have experienced this because it's only your second time watching, but even as many times as I've watched it, there are so many scenes and even whole episodes where I'm like, I don't even remember this. Like, it's always fun to go back and watch because I still feel like there are times where it feels brand new to you.
Do you have, since you are the like foremost Sex and the City expert from our last episode we did with you. Do you have a favorite season that you can point to? Because I feel like we know, I think it's like season three when we feel like it really starts to like crank up.
Yeah.
For at least I feel like. But do you have a favorite season?
Whatever season Aiden is most prevalent in, that might be 4 or 5. I think three into four,
right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's
three or four.
Is when he gets really,
I love the Aiden time. I mean, we all just, so many of us love Aiden. And I also really love the last season though, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
When she walks into the store in Paris and slips and falls and her shit goes everywhere, I laugh like a fucking maniac every time. There's something about that fall that is so funny to me. And I just, for that reason, I might have to say that the last season's my favorite.
That's awesome. Can you imagine if she did that and just foos wraps and foos lube are coming out of her purse when she falls down?
That's what she slipped on. She slipped on some foos lube. That spilled.
She slipped on some foos lube. Yeah, exactly.
Do you like Aiden as a boyfriend for Carrie and Petrovsky as a boyfriend for Carrie? Or do you just like the dynamics that exist between the two of them as...
Did you see what just happened to my body when you said Petrovsky? I like hate. I like became a gargoyle. I hate him so much. I thought their interactions in the very beginning were pretty fun and flirty, and he would call and do the whole like oh comedian or whatever he would say. Those things were kind of fun, and then you know what I hate? I don't like when guys are pushy. And how he would just be like, oh, try it. You'll like it. Just, it was always this like very pushy way about him. And that just drove me crazy. But I did really like Aiden for Kevin.
Okay.
He was a good foil for her because I feel like that, that type of guy is like pretty, especially like who's an artist who kind of just wants like, a pretty, very interesting girl, but then also is like, no, but I just want you to like all of my stuff and do all my things. And I feel like, as much as I didn't like him as a boyfriend for her, I was like, oh, this is such a great character. Cause I'm like, oh, I've seen these guys before all the time that like want an interesting girl the first like 3 months. And then they want to be like, actually just shut up and come to my art opening or whatever.
Yeah. I didn't like how submissive her character seemed in that relationship. Cause I don't think she's a submissive character and she became very small. I think that age gap too, there was like kind of a weird power dynamic with it. There's something about it that didn't feel right to me.
So what are your favorite qualities about Aiden and your least favorite?
Ooh.
Cause there's a lot of people that despise Aiden.
Yeah.
But I feel like now,
why do people despise Aiden?
Well, some people say he's controlling about the cigarette thing and how he's a little needy.
Yeah. The cigarette thing, I think people think is controlling. And then also there's like I think that people just think some people have an attraction to Big where they just think Big is like take charge and Aiden is kind of weirdly like passive aggressive, I think.
Okay.
There's a lot of people
who think like the story.
A lot of people also just, my point is really quickly is a lot of people just don't like that he wasn't very creative in how he named his business furniture store. And they're like, really? You know, and they hold that against him in every other aspect of his life.
There's other people who just think the story is about Carrie and Big. And it's just any deviation from that is something that people find to be off-putting. I don't know.
Even with how big of a dick Big is in the beginning, you think there's a lot of people that are still absolutely... Well, I know that people are Team Big. You hear about it all the time. But
yeah.
That's funny that people hate Aiden for that reason.
Yeah. I feel like we've found it fascinating because I feel like if I had no fanhood of the show, just watch it on my own, I'd be like, oh yeah, Aiden's clearly a good guy and this other guy's kind of a douche, but that might be just how I think I would feel about those people in real life or whatever. But then anytime I'd throw a post on Instagram, like criticizing one or the other of them, it would be like 50-50 people being like, just like such intense hatred towards Big or intense hatred towards Aiden. And I'm like, really? Like,
yeah,
especially among older women, people love Big. And even there was with his like Chris Noth's like recent, you know, trouble he got in, there was like some posts about that, that women were just like in our Instagram. I was like, I can't post about this guy anymore because people would be like, these women are lying. It'd be like other older women that are big fans that are like, don't trust. Like, and I was like, geez, I was like, I'm posting about the gals for now on. I can't get into this, but yeah, the like very intense fanhoods of both of them, depending on who they're attracted to.
There might be like some sort of age situation going on too, because I feel like when that show came out and people who were the similar age as Carrie in the 90s had some sort of different attraction to Big than our generation. Right. You know, my wife, for instance, is a huge Aiden fan and gets like very turned off by the idea of Big. But we've talked to people who are a little bit older who were like, yeah, that's what we wanted when we were 20 and 30 something year olds in the 90s. That's the man that was attractive to us.
Was the
it's
big
weird.
Type?
I think that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big yeah. type. Yeah. It's like it was an archetype then to have a like a big boxy suit guy who called all the shots, but you didn't see all the things that were possibly toxic or just bad about that. You know, it was just like, this guy knows what he wants. He's got a lot of money. He has a driver. You know, and it's funny because if you look like Skipper is, I mean, obviously like total beta male.
Yeah.
But this is before beta male. Yeah. It's before beta male was like cool. Like, you know, you see so much on so much through movies and even TV now where it's like beta male is romanticized and it's shown. It's like, it's not even really beta. It's just a different strength, you know?
Yeah. I wonder, I don't know that there was a character like this, maybe Burger, but I don't know. That was more of a hybrid of Big and Aiden. Because I feel like they both obviously had qualities that Carrie was drawn to, but they were such clearly different types of men and kind of on different ends of, I think, the spectrum of masculine, like stereotypical masculinity, where Big was like a little more, would like play harder to get, was not as affectionate with his words. And so if people aren't into Aiden, I think Aiden was much, much warmer and showed affection more easily. And now that I think about it, I've never asked myself what Carrie's love language is, but clearly she was looking more for the way that Big showed affection. And I don't think she's prickly, but she's not like Aiden was much more words of affection and like physical touch and more of a warm person. And she was a little, I think, liked the guys that played harder to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about that just in general. Like, what other Sex and the City people could you ascribe their love languages? Like Samantha, probably physical touch.
Samantha, dildos.
Dildos. Oh yeah. There's the six one. Dildos.
Let me think. Miranda. I feel like Miranda was acts of service because she was so busy that she really appreciated somebody who would like, she could come home and shit would be done.
I'm very anti acts of service.
Or get Chinese food delivered. That's an act of service.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kevin, why are you saying that you don't like doing acts of service or you don't care about receiving them?
I don't relate at all. I mean, I make it a bit to like make fun of people that like acts of service, but I respect if that's how you feel and receive love. But I am like,
I just
such, a, such an interesting,
nobody done the dishes there for like a century.
It's just like, I am like, I'll do my thing. You do your thing. Let's get our stuff done so that we can spend time together. Sure. And I that's probably speaking as somebody with a lot of free time. Like maybe once you're like maybe once you're married or very busy, that like what you just said about Miranda makes sense, that it's like she's very busy. So if she comes home and the dishes are done, that would be a beautiful act of love that is like, wow, that makes me feel so loved. I'm just I like quality time mm-hmm. with people, and I don't think I smother people at all. But when you mentioned that thing about Aiden, I was like, oh, that's interesting. If somebody doesn't love quality time, their main thing.
Yeah.
Then I could see how that'd be like, so that's my main thing is quality time and acts of service. I just like, I'll do my own dishes. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
You don't want them done for you. And you don't care about doing it for someone else. Like,
now,
that's not
I mean, I need to get down to the bottom of this, but even the thought of somebody doing those dishes for me in the back of my head, I'd be like, oh, when's this going to be hung over my head?
There are some wow. things to unpack there. I mean, that's not a typical response. That's not the dishes for you. Usually people are like, oh, that's so nice, thank you, and you're like, this fucking bullshit, this nightmare, how dare
they. Oh man, literally as it came out I was like, yeah, I'm gonna have to look into that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go near that page for the next great. 30
minutes. Yeah. Wait,
what's
okay,
Charlotte's love language
you covered? Yeah, what's Charlotte?
I was just thinking, okay, I feel like Charlotte's a gift scout.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, she's kind of more of that, like, I don't know. She's just so prim and proper, and I think anytime somebody would get her a gift in the show, it seemed like that was anything for her.
Totally.
Yeah.
And didn't she?
I feel like for her too. It's like, okay, John.
I'm sorry. I need to say I think I'm on a delay, and I keep talking over everyone. So if you're listening and don't think I'm an asshole, but isn't Charlotte? Doesn't she always show up like to parties with like a really nice basket and a wedding gift? Like she gives gifts too to show her love.
Yeah, I think Charlotte more than any character valued being courted, and I think there is an aspect of courting that can, and I mean doesn't have to, but you know. I think in the show it seemed to involve a lot of gifts.
Doesn't she in season one when they go out of the city to go to that baby shower for
I was just thinking that
Lainey, she brings that like giant gift basket.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. She seems like a gifts person and like a specific kind of gifts person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Well, that's what.
Oh, go ahead.
That's where gift giving can be super special, when somebody like gives you something that you are like, whole, you paid attention to this like very specific thing. And that's where I feel like Charlotte probably feels, I don't know, if she gets the right gift that shows like these like deep yearnings for the things that she feels and wants. And I feel like that's her thing. And the thought of the baby shower, I forget, does anybody not bring anything, or do they have a discussion about it?
I think Samantha brings booze, right?
Yeah,
I think
Samantha
brings booze. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like you bring in a pregnant woman booze, basically.
Oh, that's
right.
But then Lainey
just like wants to go wild. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
What's your favorite episode?
What do you think Mr. Big's love languages are? Oh, sorry.
Sorry, John, there's a delay again.
I'm gonna mostly shut up and just smile and nod.
No, John, we need you.
We need you to just mow over things, John. You just need to like channel that like 90s Mr. Big energy and just move through. Make your presence
back to foosball. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Corey, what were you saying?
I would say, well, we'll do mine and then John's. Okay. First question, what's Mr. Big's love language?
Oh, like for how he wants to receive it, you think?
Sure. Yeah.
He gives love by just calling girls toots. Yeah. That's his main.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His love language is catcalling.
I'm trying to think when he gets left by Natasha. He's like lamenting with Aiden. He's pretty vulnerable about like what he wants and who he is. And that sees that like arc of the series. Like, is there any clues there?
That's a good point. I think sometimes my brain just goes to the season one version of him or season two, where I just picture that what he wants is like steak and a blowjob, like just that, again, kind of stereotypical guy. That's how I picture his fate, like, or a cigar, a box of like nice cigars or something seems like his love language. It doesn't seem like it's, oh, maybe acts of service, but I don't know. He didn't seem to be a big words of affirmation guy. And then you get to like the movie though. And because he didn't know how to say his own words, then he was just copying other people's words. So I don't know. He's a mystery, that man.
Yeah. I think if you gave him words of affirmation, he would just be like, I know. Like, that was all he would say.
Yeah.
Correct.
Correct.
Yes. I am rich.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
John's question was, do you have a favorite episode?
Yeah.
It's a great question. I don't know. I love so many of them, and it has been a second since I've watched all the way through again, and so I might be able to give you a better answer if I had like just recently watched. But I love some of the Burger episodes. I thought Burger was really fun. That was such a disappointing end to that character. I couldn't believe he shit the bed like that.
Yeah.
I do like the Burger episodes. I like when Carrie runs into Aiden and he's got a baby. I think that's a fun episode. Mm-hmm. Or God, any of the ones with Robert are
oh my gosh,
very fun, I think, too. He was Robert such a great Leeds. Character.
Robert
oh,
Leeds.
Yeah, Robert Leeds. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, Robert was the hottest guy on the show.
Oh, for sure.
Bar none, yeah. I do have a favorite episode. I just remembered. It is the one where she's learning how to fly on the trapeze. And she goes to the wedding, and like Brian Callen's character is just like nonstop. And that whole episode to me has so many laugh out loud moments. It's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. That episode, doesn't it end with an Alanis Morissette song?
No, what Michelle is Branch.
No, Branch. Michelle Branch.
Breathe.
Yes. Yeah.
You got a branch head.
Because
she nails the trapeze move, right? She does her trapeze move.
Uh-huh.
And they're all in the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Stanford up there at the pool too? Like Chandra on? Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one for sure.
We'll talk about the new series, but before we do that. What we've been doing, we were like so didn't know what to do because we watched Sex and the City and then we finished in just like that. And we've been watching rom-coms lately. Not just rom-coms. We've been watching movies with romantic themes. Like, so not just like The Proposal, you know. But do you have any favorite romantic or like love type movies. We've watched You've Got Mail. We've watched Pretty Woman, but we've also watched like Crazy Stupid Love and 10 Things I Hate About You. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite
Clueless,
like Princess movies Bride. In Clueless?
Yeah. Nice. My probably top three favorite rom-coms are Love and Basketball. A Lot Ooh. Like Love. Oh, I've got a couple more. Fever Pitch and Guess Who.
Wait, what was the last one?
Guess Who? With Ashton Kutcher and Ernie Mac.
Wow. I've never heard of that movie.
Good. It's so good.
This is four
names. Ashton Kutcher Love is
four names.
Amanda
that
Pete.
Yeah.
I love Amanda Pete.
I fucking love Amanda Pete. Oh, what?
She's a babe.
Yeah, two Ashton Kutcher ones in my top four, I just realized. But A Lot Like Love is so good. I love any story like that where it's like they're together and then something they like can't quite make it work then. And then 2 years later, they randomly run into each other and it's just this whole thing. I love that.
Oh, man. I've never even heard of that movie.
A Lot Like Love?
No.
I shouldn't have even said that. I said that assuming that you guys have seen it, but whatever. It's
no, we need great. To watch it now.
You have.
Wow.
It is. Oh, I like wish I could watch it with you guys because it's so good.
Let's do it.
You guys will love it.
It's also it's got Katherine Hahn in it and Cal Penn. It's like, I feel like that it came out in 2005. I'm seeing like, that's like this era of,
yes,
they don't make movies like that anymore now. Like they were just churning out movies like that then.
Yes. I get goosebumps even thinking about that movie. The soundtrack is incredible.
Oh my gosh, we got to watch this.
But yeah, Fever Pitch, A Lot Like Love, and Guess Who all came out around that time. So those are all like high school favorites for me. That
Fever Pitch is the Jimmy Fallon movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah? Is she in it?
Drew Barrymore.
No, you're thinking of Taxi. It's him. And,
yeah.
Yeah, him and Drew Barrymore. Yeah, the Red
About
Sox.
About the Red Sox, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, those are great to add to our list.
Yeah,
we would definitely love to. We'll have you back and watch A Lot Like Love.
Great,
yeah, totally.
I haven't seen it in so long. It's one of those ones where I don't like to spoil it. It's like I want to, you know, I never want to burn it out, and I'm definitely due to watch it again.
Yeah, Guess Who is it? Just from the cover of it, when I'm looking at it, it looks like Bernie Mac is the dad, mm-hmm. and Ashton Kutcher is the boyfriend or fiance, mm-hmm. and he's getting introduced to it. Is Zoe Saldana the girlfriend? Okay,
and I believe it's so.
Ashton Kutcher's
an old
getting
movie,
introduced,
by the way. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Do they play the game?
It almost looks like a reverse Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, like with Sydney Poitier, where Sydney Poitier is like the black love interest coming to an all white family. This looks like Ashton Kutcher is like the white guy coming to an all black family.
Yeah, it's the flip of it.
It's the flip of it. And I mean, I gotta say, if you're gonna stack up an actor against Sydney Poitier, it's got to be Ashton Kutcher. You know,
yeah,
that looks awesome. Bernie Mac, I bet's hilarious in that.
He's so good. There's some parts of it that like are kind of corny. It's not the greatest, you know, acting of all time, but Bernie Mac is so good. And there's so many other actors that do a perfect job. And that's a great soundtrack too.
That's awesome. That's cool.
What did you think of getting into, and just like that, it's not Sex and the City. It's a new chapter.
Boy, it sure is not.
And just like,
that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's give the overview and then we'll get into some specifics.
Okay. It was pulling teeth for me to finish it, but I had to, I knew that I couldn't not finish it, but I was texting one of my best friends who's also a big Sex and the City fan. I was screaming in text after the first two episodes, just like, this is so bad. I can't fucking watch. Like my skin is crawling. It just was not good. And then it did get better toward the end. Oof, those first few were just turds. They were so hard to watch.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty fascinating. I mean, before it was even announced, we would talk, we'd be like, if they did it now, it'd be so difficult, blah, blah, blah. And then when the anticipation of for it to come out, I was like, man, there really hasn't, there's lots of reboots all the time. There was a reboot of fucking the Paul Reiser, Helen Hunt show. What was that?
Oh, Mad About You?
Mad About You.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. There's been so many reboots that it's like,
yeah.
Come out with a, like, no one has an opinion on it. It's just like, this is probably the highest, most anticipated type reboot, I think, of almost any reboot. And it was pretty jarring to watch those first few were such like whiplash of like, man, I don't know how you do this right, but it was rough. I mean, I'm thankful. I think like later in the series, like you said, it did get better, and there were certainly some really good episodes and moments throughout the whole thing, but yeah, there was some whiplash.
Yeah, for sure. I still feel chafed by that. It was just visual rug burn trying to transition my mind from how things were in Sex and the City to how it wasn't, I'm not even talking about like visually that they had aged. It wasn't any judgment on that. It was like the acting. What happened? It was so, do you know what I mean? Did you guys feel that same way too? Where you're like, this does not feel even remotely like the same acting from these people.
There felt like some stilted, like rhythms of the, like the scenes and the act. Like it was almost because it didn't feel like it was just the acting. It was almost like, between the cameras being like different and the camera movements were different and the acting felt different. So it was just all the stuff that I was like, it almost feels like Sex and the City AI for a second. Like that was like, I was like, this is not totally right. And I don't know. I don't think that was just that Samantha wasn't there, but it was like, I don't know. Maybe they were trying to get away from, yeah, I'm not sure, but I totally know what you mean. It was like, besides just the writing of some storyline problems I had, it was hard to put my finger on the pulse of like, what exactly am I feeling right now?
Yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker can do no wrong for me. And, but she stayed really active as an actor, like watching her in Divorce and all that stuff. But I hadn't seen, why are their actual names slipping away from me? Not Miranda and Charlotte, but those, the actors that play them. I hadn't seen them in anything since Sex and the City. And so I just felt it's like, oh, they are different now.
Mm. If you could write the first, like Kelsey Cook is head writer, what would you have done? Like first episode in, like, if I don't mean to put you on the spot of like, think of something better, but like, what would your desire have been like, this is maybe where you start things off story-wise. Did you have anything you're like, this is what I would have done, or this is what I would have wanted to happen?
Yeah, that's such a funny question to ask, to just like throw my shit talking right back in my face. Like, bitch, you do it.
No, it's not that at all.
And I'm like, no, I would never write it. Like, well,
I thought
you've
of
been
it
to
because
Hollywood, you fix it.
my friend Olivia, she started because the first two episodes came out the first day. So she started, her HBO Max was on the second episode by accident. She didn't notice. So she just started it at Big's funeral, and she was like, oh my gosh, like what the fuck? And she started late, but then she was like, oh my gosh, I watched that full thing and realized, and then I went back to the first one. And then she said, once the series was done, she was like, that's what I would have done. Just start after he's dead. I didn't need the first pilot. And she's like, that would have fixed so many things. And I was like, whoa, that's fascinating. So
yeah, that's an interesting perspective. Somebody had spoiled his, and I watched like the night it came out, and somebody had spoiled it on Instagram, his death, that like earlier that day. I was so pissed. That's such a major thing to have spoiled, but
it's huge.
I think what I would change is not feasible because I would want Samantha there. I just, to me, I totally understand why they would want to continue the show even despite her not being part of it, but it did make it so different, and she was always one of my absolute favorite parts of the show. So I think that's what I would want to.
Yeah. I don't think you're alone in that. I think so many people like miss Samantha, and I'm surprised there's not like an internet fanfic thing where someone has started writing like the current life of Samantha somewhere.
Oh,
that's like, going on the Reddit. And just like that Reddit has tons of that.
Yeah, of just like what she's doing in London now or wherever she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like it's like as big as like Game of Thrones, like fan fiction now. There's like whole on threads of people like weaving together, like fixing the first season. And like, I've like scrolled through some of them. I'm like, man, this is like a lot of, it's impressive.
We have to explore some of that stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I want to do a thing. Let's go back to foosball for a second. Let's go through some Sex and the City characters. Ooh. And we can just say who you think, like, who could you beat? Let's just go through some Sex and the City characters and we'll talk about what it would be like to play if you played them in foosball. So start with a softball. How would it be to play Skipper?
Oh, poor Skipper. I would have his entire bank account.
Okay.
Kevin in the back. I also, to
I feel
be
like
fair,
Skipper might have a good, I feel like he might have a good five man. Like he might be have some good passing going
good
on.
Job,
but I don't know how
do again. I love it.
I don't know his defense or shots is gonna be are gonna be any good.
Skipper's one of those guys where it might be good. I don't know.
Okay. Let's go Miranda. Miranda. Ooh. On the foosball table.
There would be a lot of yelling, I think, from her. I feel like I would be getting a little verbally abused, but
I feel like Miranda's a spinner.
Yes.
I feel like she just you
Miranda
know.
Would be
She's just freaking out, spinning all the bars as fast as she can. No control.
But I feel like she could pull out, she would pull a few goals and just like, she'd be like a little drunk and she would just be like, I don't want to play. And then she scores a few goals and she just goes crazy. She's like, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Such an intense.
High-fiving people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like when she rode that bull in Hollywood.
Yes!
Exactly.
She, like,
that's
out.
Exactly what I thought.
Her face when she's riding that bull is burned to my brain forever. What a scary face.
Yeah. Yeah. What about, do you remember Ray King, the jazz musician that has ADD?
How could we forget? God bless Ray King. Oh,
how would he be in foosball?
Pork pie?
Yeah, pork pie.
That's right.
Pork pie.
I feel like Ray King would have a decent shot. He seems like, you know, as a jazz musician, he's been around a fair share of foosball tables. Oh, no. My phone's ringing. Sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it's totally fine.
I feel like being in jazz clubs and kind of in that area, he probably has played a decent amount of foosball. So I think he'd be okay.
Finally, unless anyone has anyone else, Che Diaz in foosball.
Wow. I think she'd be good.
That's a tough one.
I think she'd be good.
I think Charlotte would be the worst given her tennis montage that we saw and just like that. I think her foosball montage would be pretty pathetic.
That was rough. Yeah, that was tough to watch. Because it's wrist. So if you got a limp wrist, man, it's not going to go great.
That was one of the weirdest, because I know that they said that everything in Sex and the City is like real life, you know, like happened to them in real life. And I can't think of a deeper way to be. I don't know if this diagnoses the whole show, but it was like mansplaining seems like a perfect sticky note to have on the wall, that it's like, what's a great mansplaining storyline you can have? And then the storyline was like her husband having like a valid critique of their tennis game. And she's like, you're mansplaining. And that was the whole extent of the storyline. And I was like, how could you not think of, like, there's just so many examples of these women probably getting mansplained to all the time, and that's the one time it's not mansplaining.
Yeah, that was hard to watch. That was a tough, I mean, I feel like I've said that 50 times this episode about and just like that, but yeah, that scene, I was like, that's not what that is.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, it was interesting. There's a podcast of the writers talking, which I would highly not recommend listening to, because because they go in and they, and I don't know, I've never written for TV, but it's one thing to wonder, to wonder like where these decisions come from, but then to hear the writers talk about how they came to some of these decisions and be so far off. It's you don't like, if you have a bad meal, you don't want to hear a podcast of the cook talking about how he made it.
Yeah.
I guess is what I don't mean to dog on their podcast, but
let's just burn everything they care about to the ground.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, they talked about, they're like, that was a thing. Mansplaining is a current issue. And we wanted to address that. And I was like, what?
Yeah. So I did not love And Just Like That, but if there's another season, I will watch it.
Yeah. Well, there is another season.
That's right.
Coming
that's
soon. Right. Yeah. 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 Che Diaz has a pilot in it, I think. It's supposed to be the future. So yeah, Che Diaz, the Che Diaz show. I don't know what it's called. Yeah. Yeah. So that's coming out in a year. I think they said it's going to be 2023 sometime, something like that.
What would you say would be a few of the, cause now like media is so separated and all these things, where do you feel like the main interesting conversations about sex and dating are happening in television now? Like, is Sex and the City and the rom-com like kind of, what's been filling the void of that? Because I feel like there's more of that than ever, but everyone's in their own little side. Like,
can I ask it a different way? Like, what edgy TV show would a high school daughter watch with their mom?
There you go.
And like have like awkward discussion about right now? Is it out there? Does it exist?
Euphoria, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. Euphoria would be my top pick for that question for sure. I also think Succession in a different way, like there are romantic storylines happening throughout it that are just very like bleak or very raw. And I think that's another version of it, but Euphoria is definitely, I think Sex and City.
And a few years ago it was Girls.
Uh-huh. True. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the pilot today cause I had to scrub through to find something. And I was like, oh, it is crazy that there was like a thesis statement that it's like so broad that now you'd have to be so, it was just like, why are there so many eligible single women, and no eligible single guys or what? I forget what it was, something along those lines. And I was like, man, that's like getting to write. You just get to be so broad and have such a broad conversation about all these things. And now I don't necessarily know if there's a need for that anymore, or if there is maybe there is a need, but it's not, it's more like micro. I'm an idiot. I can't think of how to ask this question.
That's okay. Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. And I think romance in reality TV is also so incredibly popular that people like just watching that version of it too now, and just seeing there's all, you know, FY Island and 90 Day Fiance.
Yeah.
It's like, we're just all looking for what's the craziest situation we can watch people try to fuck or fall in love in. And sometimes it's hard to write things that are more interesting than that now, because people are.
That's interesting. I've never thought about that, but I think you are so true. That's so accurate. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I think so. That's a really great point.
Because reality TV didn't exist when Sex and the City came out.
Right. Like, you had to watch Carrie Bradshaw live that life.
Didn't exist. And
wow.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there was no reality TV back then.
Yeah. And now it's like too hot to handle. I mean, there are endless amounts of shows and they keep coming out with new ones because we all eat it up. The Bachelor and Bachelorette are in there. How many number of seasons?
Yeah.
It's insane, but it continues to be a thing that people want to watch.
So the other thing that I was thinking is podcasts too, like how much there's, you know, our podcast essentially is about that stuff just because we're talking about Sex and City, and then your podcast, Self Helpless. Mm-hmm. What's the best or is there any memorable guests or advice you've had on in like the sex relationship sort of you know, because you can explain what your podcast is, but you basically get experts in self-help and all these things. So you get a whole lot of good advice from experts.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I can imagine that you get like so many good resources. Like we dive deeper into the show Sex and the City, but you probably get to talk to therapists all the time, just as like your podcast guest.
Yeah, it is. Such a wonderful bonus of doing the show is that we as hosts get to learn so much all the time because we have this fortune of asking questions to people that really know what they're talking about and they've spent their life putting in time into this field that they're in. I had actually two of my friends who are engaged on the show, they both, I can't remember if we talked about it on the show, but they met in a 12-step program. And the way that they like operate in their relationship, she basically could become a relationship coach at this point. She has given me so many great pieces of advice, but just ways on how to communicate with your partner and like how... It just, I think it's easy when you're in a relationship to do things like fight the wrong way. But when you're in school, nobody teaches you the right way to have an argument with your partner. And so we all just like take whatever we've learned from either our parents or school or the world and just enter into things. And somebody should absolutely be teaching all of us like, hey, here are some great tips on how to navigate when like things are tough in a relationship or even just a tough conversation. So that episode, I think it really has something for everybody in that episode. She and him were so helpful.
Nice. What's the name of that episode? What's her name? If people can,
yeah.
Look
so,
that up.
Her name is Rachel. I think it came out a couple months ago and it was Tips for a Successful Relationship. Or something like that.
Cool.
But yeah,
we'll post something about that too. That's amazing. Yeah, I do think that like we were saying, like reality TV is like what we follow, but also there's just so much content of podcasts, online content about all of this stuff that the way we consume entertainment about relationships is so different now. If you were like, I'm having a problem communicating or I'm having a problem finding excitement in a relationship, you could Google that and go down the biggest rabbit hole and find like entertainment about it, but also podcasts like yours and just like anything about that. So different than when Sex and the City came out, but you know, in the late 90s.
Yeah, I think a lot of people looked to Sex and the City, whether if they were watching it when it first came out or like me watching even years later, it was the first time that you were watching people in situations that you had been in. And you're like, oh my God, it's so nice that other people can relate. Or, oh, I thought I was the only one who went through that. And now we are inundated with so many resources to find, you know, information and stuff like that, like you said. But yeah, at the time, I think that's part of why it was so huge, because it was the first time people felt like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I think also there's way more of a feeling now that people have, like when there used to be like these big monolithic type relationships that were like Ross and Rachel or, I don't know. Isn't there one in Dallas that was like very, I forget, but there was like these big things. And now I feel like there's so many conversations about like how all types of different relationships and people are like, how do they make it work? And then because you see so many different types of relationships and there's a lot more information out there to be like, okay, what are the principles that make this work? Because I do see that people are on a lot of different pages now with how to live your life.
Yeah.
And career and sexuality and all that stuff that now I feel like whenever people see a healthy relationship, it could take so many different forms than what it used to look like.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
this has been so fun. Thanks for having me back on.
That feels like a great place to close. Kelsey, do you, I know we talked about your special, but tell us a couple places where we can find you, some things we can look out for, things coming up for you, any stand-up dates, anything like that.
Yeah. So I'm still on the Hustler tour through the end of the year, a ton more, you know, dates coming up. So you can go to kelseycook.com and get some tickets and see where I'm going to be performing. You can follow me on Instagram at Kelsey Cook Comedy. It's the same for TikTok. And yeah, please go listen to my podcast, Self Helpless, with Delaney Fisher.
Great.
I think I'm going to be in Fort Collins while you're in Fort Collins.
No way.
Yeah, I'm going to see, I'm going out to see War on Drugs at the band at Red Rocks with my dad, and I'm going to be in Fort Collins then.
Fuck yeah. Come on out.
That's awesome. I'll come by.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, it's a really fun club. It's a really cool room.
Yeah, we'll post your dates in there. Go follow Kelsey on all the places and go see her live. She's hilarious.
Thanks.
Go play her in foosball and lose.
Yes, please.
Go do that. Yeah.
Wait, in your special, are there going to be like some, is it all stand up or is there some like,
I don't know, maybe.
Okay. I think, no. Okay.
Nice.
All right.
Cool.
All right. I'm excited, Kelsey, to tune in.
Yeah. All right. You guys,
thanks so much, Kelsey.
Me.
Thank you so much for all coming right. on.
Bye.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at thebradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.